right. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Can we quote it together? Everybody probably knows it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll do what? He'll direct your paths. Anybody interested in direction? God directs, this verse is telling us, God directs acknowledgement. And we've been talking about that and talking about that. How many of you are getting some things out of it? Well, the rest of you, go ahead. I'm getting some good things out of it. So he's talking about, he tells us to acknowledge Him, trust Him, don't lean to our own understanding, and He'll guide us. The whole, you know, I'm seeing it all together. I've read this verse many times and seen it in different ways, but right now I'm seeing it all together. Trust the guidance. Trust. Don't try to figure out in your head what He's guiding you into, but acknowledge. Acknowledge what's on the inside of you. And the word acknowledge doesn't mean just have knowledge. The word knowledge actually refers to something within a person. But to acknowledge something is referring to some external expression of that knowledge. Fessing up to it, acknowledging that it's there. Amen. I told you the story of me not wanting to acknowledge that He was calling me to pastor. And how that was going for me. You heard that last Sunday, I believe, if you were here. And so, what does it mean to acknowledge God? It must have something to do with trusting Him, because He puts it all together, doesn't He? Trust in the Lord. Trust Him. Trust the Lord. Trust the guidance. Trust what's coming up in your spirit. I have been around for, oh man, well, I'm not talking about all my life, but I'm talking about in the ministry of 35, I don't know, I lost track. It doesn't matter after a while. But, you know, and I noticed this one thing. Christians have to be taught to pay attention to what they really already know on the inside. Yes, sir. Many Christians, I can't figure that out. I can't do that because, you know, whatever. And their natural head kicks in. Brother Hagin told the story of the time he was, you know, he wasn't saved and he died and started going to hell. And then he got saved because he lived through that experience. He came back to life. But he got saved. And then from then on, he knew on the inside. He just knew that he didn't have to die at this early age. Doctors had said he had to and said no one in this condition's lived past the age of 16 or whatever, 17, whatever it was. But he just knew on the inside it didn't have to be that way. And he would get thrilled about it for a while, and then his mind would kick in and say, yeah, but the doctor said, you know. And how many have ever been through that that war between the heart and the head? Yes, you have. It's a classic battle between what's going to dominate, whether what our own understanding can figure out is going to dominate us, or whether what we know inside is going to dominate us. So Brother Hagin said he just knew, and said he just knew the answer is in that book, talking about the Bible. And so he began to open that, and God led him right into his healing. Doctor said he couldn't live past the age of 16 or 17. He lived to 86.
Amen.
Ran his race, finished his course.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, but the reason was is because he acknowledged what he knew on the inside. He followed that. He trusted that. He didn't try to figure that out. He just practiced this verse. I mean, you could say in one way, he just practiced this verse. And then he got direction. His path was directed right into how to walk in what he knew inside he could have. Don't let anything put the light out on the inside of you. The dream, there's some things you know. Many of us know many things, you know, that God has planned for our lives. And it seems like there's no way. Well, don't acknowledge what it seems like. Acknowledge the one who's telling you on the inside that there is a way. And that acknowledgement will open the door for Him to direct you. To get into what is impossible. See, you're not excited because, but I'm walking in some impossible things right now, and it's just because I'm acknowledging Him. And so you and I don't have to do it. Don't have to bring it all to pass. We just have to do the acknowledging. We just have to do the trusting. We have to do the following. Not trying to figure it out. Just take steps. When He says take steps, amen. So acknowledgement has something to do with trusting Him from the way this is written. And acknowledgement, like I said, is the outward expression of recognition or of what you know on the inside. You are acknowledging what your inward man has been confronted with, the truth that your inward man has been confronted with. Yeah. I don't know if that rings in you like it rings in me. Sometimes there's truth confronted my inward man, and I'm like, oof. You're tempted to say, not so, not possible, no way, not me. I grew up on a farm. I'm a farm boy, have a high school education. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? But your heart knows some things that your head can't figure out. And when you acknowledge that, I've practiced this, acknowledge this and don't try to figure it out. Just take steps. He begins to guide. And he gets you into what's impossible. Yeah. Amen. But that truth on the inside confronts me, and I have to not deny it, not reject it. Amen. So really, you know, the Bible says to renew our minds, doesn't it? You know, the renewed mind doesn't try to dominate the spirit man. If your mind's still trying to dominate you, just know there's more renewing to do. The renewed mind defers to what the spirit man knows. Now, when I say the spirit man knows, it's because of the one who lives in us who knows all these things. Remember, you have an unction from the Holy One. We looked at that. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know. Hallelujah. How many of you know some things that your head can't figure out yet? Just acknowledge what you know. Don't go talking about what you can't figure out. Just acknowledge what you know. And there's the process of renewing the mind brings the mind to the place. It lets the spirit man take the lead on what he knows, even when your mind can't figure it out. And when your mind is renewed, it'll say, Uncle. You know what I mean? To the spirit man. In other words, it'll just say, I defer to you. You take the lead. The unrenewed mind tries to dominate the inward man. If it can't figure it out, it says no to what the spirit man's trying to say to it. Amen? And listen, your mind is not renewed just because you got the knowledge of God. Your mind is renewed whenever your mind acknowledges what it can't figure out. It might not be able to figure it out, but it can acknowledge it. Am I making any sense? Your mind's not renewed because it got the knowledge of God's Word. It's renewed when the Word is given its proper place of authority and it is acknowledged even when you don't understand it. Your mind is renewed whenever you keep saying, when your mind can't figure it. The doctor said there's no way. The doctors gave you a report and said, not possible. I mean, this is incurable, whatever. But your mind is renewed whenever you walk out and you say, see, you've been confronted with a natural reality, but you walk out and you say, I just know on the inside. I know what the Word told me. I know what's gotten planted in me. I know by His stripes I'm healed. I acknowledge that. Because there's a battle between what's going to dominate me, what I can figure out, or what the doctors can figure out, or what I can figure out, what my heart knows on the other side of that. So in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Well, that'd be the way you live, wouldn't it? Amen. What does He say about the way I live? How many of you know in all your ways would include the decisions you make? What does He say about this decision? Always ask, what does the Word say? Yes. You know, people want to date somebody that's not even a Christian. Acknowledge the Word. Acknowledge, well, yeah, but I'm going to get him saved. No. You're trying to figure it out. Acknowledge the Word. The Word says don't be unequally yoked together. You know, people will put forward a good front to get you. Promise to go to church, promise, all kinds of things.
Tell the truth.
Anyway. So acknowledge God. Acknowledge the Word and give what He has to say. In all your ways, acknowledge what He has to say as truth. Give it the voice that it rightly belongs. The voice that rightly belongs to it. So acknowledge Him in your ways. Acknowledge Him in the way you live. Acknowledge Him in your decisions. How about the way you handle your finances? How about whether you lie in this situation or don't? Acknowledge the right way of doing things. Amen. How about the way you talk? Amen. The redeemed of the Lord are supposed to say so. Acknowledge your redemption. Acknowledge that Jesus took all your curse. Acknowledge that. Yeah, but I just never have lived that way. My family never has lived that way. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that you're redeemed. Amen. How about whenever you, the devil says, I got you this time. Acknowledge your authority. Acknowledge that you as a believer have authority over him. Amen. And all these things without acknowledgement there, they don't become active. Say, I want my faith to be active. Remember Philemon 1:6, we looked at it. Faith becomes active by the acknowledging. Hallelujah. Acknowledge your victory in Christ. When you don't feel like it, acknowledge where you're seated. Acknowledge you're seated far above. Yeah, but this thing's big and bad, and you're above it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. The reason many don't acknowledge things that God said about them is in John 3. I'm not going to take time to go there, I don't think. But John 3, Jesus, or actually John the Baptist talking about Jesus, he said, he that is from above. Now, that's talking about Jesus, but you could have put yourself in there. You're not Jesus, but I'm not saying you're Jesus, but you could put yourself in there because Philippians says that our citizenship is from above. We're born from above. Amen. He that is from above, what is it, John 3, 34? 30, 34, 35, something like that? 31, 32? He that is from above is above all. Well, I'm not getting the first verse. How does it say it before that? What's the verse before that start out saying?
He must increase that I must
decrease. Okay, what's right after that?
He that cometh from above is above all.
He that is of the earth is earthly. I got it now. Yeah. Is earthly and speaks of the earth.
Yeah.
In other words, what they say is from the natural standpoint. Yeah. They only talk about the natural standpoint.
Yeah.
They don't talk about heavenly realities.
Yeah.
Because they're living more in the flesh.
Yeah. Right.
And they're not that aware of heavenly realities. And let me tell you why they're not that aware of them. First of all, they don't hear about it like they should. They're not going to a place that preaches it. Number two, they don't say it constantly.
There it is.
You become conscious of what you keep saying.
Yes.
You forget about things, you stop saying it.
Yeah.
But if you keep saying it, Amen. That'll work in marriage. Keep saying you love her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let me go over here. You stay conscious of it. But in the things of God, the more you say it. Remember the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and also within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not. How's he not going to forget? He keeps blessing the Lord for what? He keeps acknowledging what the Word says, what God said, who he is, where he's seated, what he has, the victory Jesus won. He keeps acknowledging, keeps saying it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You live conscious of redemption by saying so. We've been around people, family members, so forth. I mean, they go to a good church or a good service and they get all excited, but then they don't maintain that. And I mean, because they don't hear it constantly and they don't talk the word constantly, they can be in a good service and their spirit goes, yeah, and wants to grab onto what they hear.
Yes, sir.
But within an hour, within an hour of that service, they're just talking about sickness for hour after hour after hour after hour.
Yeah.
See, it's not in them yet.
Right. Yeah.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Once it gets in and you start acknowledging it, then that consciousness just lives big all the time. Amen. Say it out loud. I'm acknowledging God. So that's what these verses are talking about. It's talking about saying something. It's talking about fessing up to what you know. Amen. So God has something to say about every area of your life. Acknowledge what he has to say. What about raising children? Acknowledge that. Bible says the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Acknowledge that. Rather than your fleshly feelings. Well, I just feel like, meow, meow.
Come on.
Don't acknowledge that. Acknowledge the love of God.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody said, I don't want to lie. No, you're not lying. You're just telling the truth. How can you lie when you're telling the truth? The love of God. If you're born again, the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So acknowledge that. Talk about it. Praise God. There's a lot of things that what people say, they're acting like God is nowhere in the universe close to them. Amen. But help a lot of times is sitting right there ready to be acknowledged. I'll never forget, Brother Hagin said, of course, if you know anything about his story, he had several visions, quite a few visions, different experiences, visions of Jesus, different things happen. I guess some people act like, you know, he didn't and whatever. They want to, whatever. You know, if you don't acknowledge something, you feel like people feel like they're not responsible. But hey,
yeah.
He had the track record.
Yes, sir.
He had the proof.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but this one time there was Jesus appeared to him, was talking to him about some things, really helping him out of a mess he had gotten himself into. Nobody here has ever done that, besides me. But he was helping him. He had not responded to something, and it was affecting him financially. And he was praying about his finances. And Jesus showed up and stood right in front of him. And there was an angel standing beside Jesus. And Jesus is talking to him about where he had missed it, how he had gotten into this situation, and what was going to happen, because he had been praying about what to do to get out of it. And the Lord showed him what to do and how long it would be he'd be out of it. And while Jesus is talking to him, of course, you know, he's looking at Jesus. But every now and then, he'd glance at the angel.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said when he would glance at the angel acted like he wanted to say something.
Yeah.
And then Brother Hagin looked back to Jesus because Jesus was already talking.
Yeah.
How many of you know if you're going to decide who to talk to, it'd be Jesus?
Yeah. Yes.
But after Jesus was finished, Brother Hagin said, I don't know if he used this word, but that's the way he quoted himself saying, he said, who is this fella?
Yeah.
And Jesus said to Brother Hagin, that's your angel.
Yeah.
He said, my angel? He said, yeah, don't you read in the Word of God that says, you know, that every child has a little angel?
Yeah.
I mean, not a little angel, but a little child has an angel?
Yes, sir.
And he said, you don't lose your angel because you grow up.
No, right. You sure don't.
Well, why would you? I mean, some of us need him more now than we did back then.
True story.
Duh. But anyway, but he said, that's your angel. And Brother Hagin said, what's he here for? He said, he has a message from the throne of God. Well, Brother Hagin said, well, you're here. Why couldn't you give me the message? And he already had given him some things. And Brother Hagin said, Jesus took him back to the Word and said, don't you remember the messenger, an angel came to Paul on the ship and gave him a message from heaven and so forth and reminded him. He said, all right, I'll accept your testimony then. And he looked to the angel, and as soon as he looked to the angel said what he had come to say. Had to do about some businessmen to not let that you do certain things for his ministry, so forth and so on. But the point is this. I want you to catch this. That angel was waiting for Brother Hagin to acknowledge him before he was going to bring that message. Did you catch that? Everything in the spirit realm is waiting on acknowledgement. Whether it's the devil, he's trying to get you to acknowledge what he's saying.
That's so good.
Isn't that right? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We've already looked many. You know, two of these services, we talked a lot about the counselor within. He's waiting for us to acknowledge him. Our faith becomes active by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us. How many of you know the Holy Ghost is in us? The Holy Spirit's waiting on our acknowledgement. We ought to constantly be saying who the Holy Spirit is to us. He's my teacher. He's my God. Father, thank you. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know what to do. But thank you. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. The anointing is in me. He teaches me and guides me into all truth. And Jesus said, whenever he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am his sheep. I know his voice.
Amen.
Just start out there. Yes. Just start out with just saying what the Word says.
Amen.
And that'll make the Spirit in you active.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 So, but this angel was waiting on Brother Hagin to acknowledge him. Remember I said, or Brother Hagin's testimony was that whenever he would look at him, he would begin to say something. Just as soon as he would acknowledge him. Everything in the spirit realm needs acknowledgement. That's what it's waiting on. In other words, the things of the spirit realm cannot move in your life until you acknowledge them. Dr. Dufresne said that the angels that paid off that brought the money to pay off that church building back there in California, in Torrance, California, that first building that in Torrance, California, the angels were, remember that story, the angel went into that man's room and said, I want you to give that money to that preacher down there. Remember that? And he didn't even like brother didn't even like Dr. Dufresne. But see, those angels were working to get that money to him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If you don't know that story, it's too long for me to tell right now. But the point is, Jesus said to Dr. Dufresne later, he said, if you'll talk more about the angels and say more of what they're in your life to do, you'll see more of that. What's he saying? Acknowledge what they're in your life for.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I think a lot of people's angels, they have a job because God said, Bob said he's given his angels charge over us. They have a job to care for us, to assist us, to accomplish in all our ways of obedience and service, the Amplified says, Psalm 34. They're there. But they're waiting on our acknowledgement. Let's not go about life as if, we don't have any help. No, acknowledge the angels. Acknowledge the greater one in us. Acknowledge the power of God. And the more we acknowledge, the more they will be in activity.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk about them all the time. Let's talk about what they do for us, what God does for us. Praise the Lord. So acknowledge. Notice in that vision Brother Hagin had, the spirit realm needs our acknowledgement to deliver what that realm holds for our lives. That the spirit realm, I'm talking about God now. I'm not interested in the devil delivering anything to me. So I'm not acknowledging him. He might say, this and this and this and this. You're going to die. Blah, blah, blah. And I don't acknowledge him. I ignore him.
Thank you.
Do you know it's proper to ignore the enemy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Jesus, Jairus came to Jesus and said, come minister to my little daughter. She's at the point of death. And remember, took time to minister. Jesus ministered to the woman with the issue of blood and took time. And Jesus took the time to get her testimony. And in the meantime, Jairus' little daughter died. Remember, people came from the house. Trouble not the master, your daughter's dead. Jesus, Bible said in the Amplified Version, Jesus overhearing. But ignoring, what what the report came saying.
Yes, sir.
Overhearing, but is it proper to ignore some things?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
The Bible says in Hebrews, talking about walking by faith, looking away from all that would distract. Hebrews 12.
Yep.
Hebrews 12, Amplified, looking away from all that would distract unto Jesus.
Yes.
In other words, you're ignoring other things.
Yes.
Is that all right? Is that all? We're not denying natural realities. We're looking beyond them to the truth that we are acknowledging.
Yes, come on.
Natural facts change.
Yes.
Yeah, I said natural things change. You don't want to be acknowledging transitory things because you're going to be wrong so often.
Amen.
Well, I'm sick. Well, what about whenever you get well then?
Right.
Well, that sick was wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. You were wrong. You were healed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're making any. Acknowledge the truth. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 17, 18, down and through there. Well, we look not at the things that are seen. Things that are seen are temporal.
Yeah.
That means temporary, subject to change.
Yeah.
Don't keep talking about what's subject to change. Keep talking about what is eternal.
Yes, amen.
That never changes.
Amen.
You know what never changes? I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
Hallelujah.
Never changes. And what makes what is seen change is holding to the eternal that never changes. You acknowledge the eternal. You acknowledge the word of God. You acknowledge the truth of God's word. It will change the temporal.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 So everything, can you understand from that vision? Can you understand from the word that everything in the spirit realm, it needs our acknowledgement to deliver what that realm holds for our lives? God has so much for us. He's got good things for us. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't get God to work for you while you're denying him at the same time. That's why Mark 11:23 says you'll have what you say. He's saying you'll have what you acknowledge. You keep saying something, you'll get it. Now you might say, what do you mean? What's the opposite? Let's understand acknowledge just a little bit better by looking at a verse that uses it here. 1 John 2:23. 1 John 2:23. What's the opposite of acknowledge according to the Bible? 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denies the Son, underline denies, the same hath not the Father. But he that, what? Acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now I want you to see, he's contrasting acknowledgement with what is opposite of acknowledgement. And notice what he calls it. Denying. Most Christians, they hear something about acknowledging God and they kind of think, oh yeah, I guess that's important. When you understand what failing to do, what failing to acknowledge God in the eyes of God looks like, it's no small deal that you acknowledge God. The opposite is denying him. Go over to Matthew 10. It's no small thing to God. Notice Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, underline confess me, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now, there's a lot of similarities. In fact, we're going to look at a verse in a minute that it's using the word confession for acknowledgement, but there's a lot of similarities between acknowledgement and speaking, what you confess, what you say. So when he says here, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, you could say acknowledge me before men. Because remember, knowledge is the inward recognition of a truth, but acknowledgement is the outward expression of recognition that you have accepted that truth. Does that make sense? Amen. Hallelujah. And so when he says in Matthew 10 here, whosoever therefore shall confess me, he's talking about you've accepted a truth. You have accepted that he is the Savior.
Yes.
But now you are confessing it. You are acknowledging it. You are saying it out loud.
Yes.
You're not just holding the truth on the inside. You are acting on it. So whoever confesses me before men, how many of you know before men means right down here? Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now notice, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Notice once again, the opposite of confession or acknowledgement in that other verse was to deny. Now people have said that they believe. You can just take this down to the basic message of salvation. They have said that they believe Jesus has come to save all mankind, that he rose from the dead, so forth. But I'm just not ready to confess him now. I'm not ready to make that my own. I got my life. I want to live, you know, whatever. Isn't that right? And they say, I'm not denying. No. What did Jesus say? No, you have denied. You have denied me. Woo! Now, that's not popular politically or whatever, culturally. But it is the word.
Yes, sir.
How many many of you know he didn't limit this here in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He didn't limit this to just salvation. He said, whoever shall confess me, whoever shall deny me. He didn't say confess me as Savior, although obviously that's the biggest thing. But how about confessing him as our help in the time of trouble?
Yeah.
How about confessing him as our peace that passes all understanding? How about confessing him? He's the joy. He's my joy and my strength, the strength of my life. How about confessing him as provider and guide and counselor and provider and healer and all these things? He didn't say salvation here. He said confess me. He's all these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Confess him as shepherd. Acknowledge that area of his of who he is to us. Isn't that right? What will happen if we do that? He said, I will confess you also before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus, the Bible calls him the apostle and high priest of our confession. He takes what we say into the presence of God and repeats it in the presence of God. In other words, what we say gets an audience before the throne of grace. What for? So God can just say, oh, I heard that.
No.
Bible said Jesus in Hebrews 7:22, the Bible says Jesus is the surety of the better covenant.
Yes.
Whenever we say what he said and we acknowledge him, he's there to make sure that comes to pass.
Amen.
When it's based on the covenant.
Yeah.
Woo, glory. But what if we say something other? So when he says here, that's we got the first part. What about whoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father? So what does deny mean? Does that just mean somebody who curses the name of God and you know, I don't even want to say things like they say, but you know, and just says I hate God and I hate these Christians well that's denying all right. But see, you don't have to act like that to deny him. You just have to act like let's take you need provision. You just have to act like the Lord is not my shepherd. I'm full of want. I got all these things and all this going on. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It seems like God never helps me, and I guess I'm going to have to make my own way because I don't ever get anything from God.
Come on.
Huh? You just denied.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
The Lord, your shepherd. Amen. Most denial or lack of acknowledgement is not because somebody's cursing God. Most of it is because of acknowledging the opposite of what he said is true. Acknowledging or talking about what we see rather than what God said. Amen. Does that make any sense? The Lord told me, I think this is where it's going, but the Lord said to me, you got new emphasis in spirit of faith to train this congregation in the move of the Spirit. Remember, the Lord said that to me. But then he also said, once a year, I want you to spend an extended period of time series on faith just to keep the thing balanced.
Yes, sir.
I think we're getting into this.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah.
This extended some things on faith for a while.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so notice again, he that denies me before men, in other words, says something other than what I said, that'd be denying him. Something other than, notice he said, I will deny him before my Father which is in heaven. So as the apostle and high priest of our confession and the surety of the New Testament or the covenant, all our rights, he's there to make sure and guarantee. That's one word other translations say, the guarantee of the new covenant. He's there to make sure and guarantee all that has been provided for us. As the one who's looking over, the Bible said in Jeremiah, he watches over his word to perform it.
Yes.
That's a prophecy of Jesus' high priestly ministry today. How many of you know Jesus didn't go up to heaven, sit down, twiddle? He's not just sitting there twiddling his thumbs right now. He's got a ministry right now. What's he doing? He's waiting for people to believe the covenant, to believe what has been done in the blood, and acknowledge it, say it, and then he makes good on it. I acknowledge you as Savior. I invite you. I confess you as my Lord. Come into my heart. Woo! Born again, right on the spot. But then he's waiting for them to say everything else that the covenant says. And he's there to make good on it, to make sure it comes to pass. But if we say something other than the covenant, what happens? He said, I'll deny you before God. In other words, that doesn't mean a person's not saved. That means he will not take what you said into the presence of God, and that will not have an audience before God.
Amen.
God doesn't hear everything on the earth. He hears what he said.
All right.
Yeah.
He only hears what he said.
Yes.
You're saying something else, you're on your own. The spirit realm will not acknowledge. I'm talking about God now. God will not, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angels, they will not acknowledge you saying something other than the covenant. You know what I'm talking about? You talk death, you talk sickness, you talk lack, you talk failure, you talk, you know, weakness, you talk, you know, infirmity, you talk all those things. That's not the terms of the covenant. So God's waiting on acknowledgement. People wonder why God's not moving right now. We're telling you. He can't confirm what he doesn't say. Amen. Confession means to affirm something. Well, first of all, confession is acknowledgement. Amen. Confession means to say the same as. So when God says, the Lord is your shepherd, when he says, I am your shepherd and you shall not want, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're my shepherd and I'll never want. That releases him to be who he said he is. That releases him to act on your behalf as shepherd. Hallelujah. Am I making any sense? So, confession means to say the same thing as. To say something other than what he said is denying what he said. He said we're healed. What are we going to say? I was looking at some notes that I had shared some of these things on, and the title of the notes was, what'd you say? God, what'd you say? The spirit realm is waiting, both God's side and the enemy's side, is waiting on what we say.
Yeah,
the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. God has witnessed. Satan is saying some things.
Come on.
He's waiting on the second witness. Why? So he can establish it. Well, the word's already established in heaven, Pastor. The Bible said that. Right. But you're on earth.
Come on.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But he's waiting on you to say it so it'll get established in your life. It needs to be established down here. And he's just waiting on you to say it. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, God has said some things and the enemy said. Let's say this. Let's say you messed up and you sinned and blew it. And you come to the Lord repenting and saying, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. I did this. I did that. And the Lord says, I'm faithful and just. Remember 1 John 1:9, can cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Right. Yes.
And you go your way. And the devil's saying, you sorry, rascal, you, who do you think you are? You know, doing this, doing that. And then getting up and singing, or getting up and being an usher, getting up, you know, you're not worthy. You're, you know, all these other people, they're all living clean. Probably not, but anyway, they're probably, you know, the devil will tell you all kinds of things. You might as well quit. You might as well go out into the world. You know you want to anyway. You're so guilty. You're such a sinner. He's got a witness, and God's got a witness. The blood's saying something. The blood's saying you're clean.
That's right.
The blood's saying something. It's saying you're clean.
That's right.
You've confessed it. He's faithful and just to cleanse you from how much?
All
unrighteousness. Acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it.
When the devil's saying you're not, you say, I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. I stand before God righteous as if sin never existed.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
And the devil will say, no, you don't feel that. You feel guilty. You say, shut up. I'm not walking by feeling.
That's
I'm
right.
walking by faith.
By faith. That's right.
And faith has to acknowledge.
Yes, it does.
That's right.
Yes, it does.
What God said.
Amen.
Glory. I'm preaching myself happy. I haven't even got off the second page. Praise the Lord. Let's jump to something here. Go to Numbers chapter number 14. Yeah, well, chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. Praise the Lord. So people see a failure to acknowledge wrong. God sees it as denying him. As basically calling him a liar. What he says is not true. You know, but what I'm experiencing, that's true. And I just say, I'm just real. And I just say, what I see, you know. Yeah, and I always say real carnal. If I said everything I felt and went down that road, do you know how long ago I'd have been gone? We've been here close to 20, what is it, in June, 20 years? Probably about 19 and a half ago. I don't say what I feel.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of success is just sticking with it.
Yes.
Come on
with me. I'm going to go over here and say that. Just stick with it.
Amen.
Keep on saying what God. Keep.
Amen.
God's word is true. It's true.
Amen.
All right. You're going to the 13th chapter of Numbers, right? So we were saying, while you were there, just listen. We were saying that denying is the way God sees it. Also, God sees it as despising.
Yeah.
Failing to acknowledge something that he said is yours, he calls it despising. Let's go first of all to the 14th chapter. I was going to go to the 13th chapter. Numbers 14, 31. This was after because God said, I've given you the land. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Go in and possess it.
Yeah.
They sent in spies. The spies came back. 10 gave a bad report. 2 gave a good report. Bad report was called an evil report. And it was a report that said, we can't.
Yeah.
God said, go do it. They said, we can't.
Yeah, come on.
And they said, you know, there are giants in there. There are walled cities in there. All these things, you know. We can't do it. I mean, they got iron chariots. We can't. Remember that's what they were saying? We can't. You know, and they cried. Brought us out here in the wilderness to die and, you know, got mad at Moses, started a revolt. And went down some paths that we'll look at here. Forget, get this out. But went down some paths that are horrendous. All because they said something other than what God said. That's where it all started. But you remember how God said, all right, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until you die off. That generation dies off. But notice what he said here in verse 31. Numbers 14, 31. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. In other words, your generation is going to die off, but the next generation will go in. Them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have what?
Despised.
Circle that word or underline that word. Failing to acknowledge what God said is despising it.
Wow.
What do you mean? They failed to acknowledge. Yeah, God had said, it's yours, go get it. They said, we can't. What are they doing? They're not acknowledging what God said. They're rejecting what God said. They're acting like he didn't even say it. They're saying something totally opposite of it. They're denying it. And God says, you have despised the land. The word despised in the Hebrew means to spurn. It means to reject with scorn or contempt. To loathe or refuse. When you and I despise what God says is ours, we're repudiating it. We're turning away. We're not accepting it. We're rejecting it. And if you know the whole story, God got perturbed.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah.
I mean, he's endeavoring to do good things for the children of Israel. Take them into a land that flows with milk and honey. Take them into cities they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant. Out of the hills they can dig iron and gold. And I mean, it's a good land. Good land. And they're despising it. Spurning it. Rejecting it. They're filled with contempt. We can't do it. There's no way. And they repudiated what God's endeavoring to do. That's no small thing to God. Are you there? We see from Hebrews 3, it angered him. They failed to appreciate what he was doing for them. They didn't stick their tongue out at God. They just said, we can't. They didn't acknowledge what he said. They acknowledged the enemy. They rejected what he offered them. I don't want that over my life. I don't want God to say, all right, just forget it, forget it, forget it.
No.
I had that in mind for you, but, you know,
no,
you won't acknowledge it. You won't say it. You act like it's impossible. You can't do it.
No.
I don't want God saying, all right, never mind.
No.
You don't want God to say, never mind.
No,
because he's getting ready to move to somebody else.
Right.
He's going to get done what he wants done.
Yes.
And so, but God said here, all right, your children will come in and accept it, but you've despised it. Now, I want you to notice here, we could go to the 13th chapter. We got to wrap this up. 13th chapter, verse number 26. This is Numbers 13, 26. They went and came to Moses. This is whenever the spies came back. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and entered all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them. Underline that. Brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And you know the rest of the story. The word was, this is the fruit of it, but the land eats up the inhabitants of it. In other words, it's a rough land and there's giants in there and walled cities. And if you read the whole thing, they got iron chariots and all this chapter here talks about we were as grasshoppers in their sight. So we were in our sight. Remember that? And the Bible called it an evil report. And you read the whole count, he got upset. But notice what started it all. They brought back words against what God had said. Say that out loud. They brought back words against what God had said. So these things that they said were keeping them out, they were not actually big enough to keep them out. The next generation proved that. They went in and took it. What kept them out was a failure to acknowledge what God had said. They had their own thinking. They had their own thoughts and mind about everything. And they said, we can't. God had already said he had give it to them. Isn't that right? How many of you know today, the same thing today, God has said he's given us some things. He's given us rights and privileges in Christ. Isn't that right? So don't think that the things that oppose you are able to keep you from having that. But failing to acknowledge what God said will keep you from having that. Isn't that right? What really kept Israel from the promised land was their lack of acknowledgement of what God had said. They spoke words, but they spoke the wrong words. Isn't that right? They spoke the report of what they saw rather than what God had said he had given them. I have given it to you. Not going to. I have. You know many blessings in the New Testament are past tense? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has delivered us from the curse of the law. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Already has. He's waiting on all that is waiting on your and my acknowledgement. Just like the children of Israel, it was important what they said about what God gave them. Today it's important what we say about what God gave us. Pay attention to the words you bring back from whatever circumstances you went to survey. I said, did you catch that? Pay attention to the words you bring back from whatever circumstances you went to survey. Oh, come on now. Just because God said something is yours doesn't mean you'll walk into it without opposition. The enemy's going to oppose you. trying to keep you from taking possession of what's yours in Christ. But when that opposition arises, what you say is going to determine whether you receive from God or not. What you acknowledge. Isn't that right? They brought 12 went, but 10 brought back an evil report. Isn't that right? And the congregation rejected the good report and believed the evil report. They accepted the report of the enemy and failed to acknowledge what God had said. It's so plain. You might say, "What? When's it going to get deep, Pastor?" This is deep. This is it. People do this every day.
Amen.
They say, "Yeah, but." They're living on the wrong side of butts.
Come on.
Listen, we got to get ourselves together about some of this. Get our words together. Acknowledge God. Don't deny what he said. Don't deny God.
Amen.
Now listen, this is all interesting here. Notice it goes on and talks about Caleb stilling the people. Notice that? I don't remember what verse it is. I don't have it written down here. Verse 30, is it? Caleb stilled the people. What does that mean? It means a failure to acknowledge God gets a man all worked up, crying and complaining. Those who have a spirit of faith and acknowledge God, that acknowledgement brings peace whenever everything looks like it's not going to work. Come on now. People get themselves worked up because they start acknowledging a lie rather than acknowledging what God said. Let's look at another one because we're wrapping this up. Don't think we're going very long. But look at chapter number 14, verse 9. Notice, they are bread for us. I was reading that one day and I heard this in my spirit. You would say, piece of cake. Now we know what that means. They're bread for us. So because Joshua and Caleb acknowledged the word of God, to them, this is easy. That's what piece of cake means. Easy. This is easy. Acknowledgement makes things easy. Because we fail to acknowledge God, we are on our own and it's hard. I don't have a spirit of hardness in my life. There's a voice out there in the world talking hardness all the time. So hard to serve God. Just so hard to get ahead. Just so hard to get out of bed and get to church. Hard. Everything's hard. That's because of a lack of acknowledgement of your new nature. Acknowledgement of what God said. And focusing on the enemy. Focusing on what he's saying. Well, it just seems like he talks so loud. God's talking too. And listen, if you acknowledge what he's saying, the enemy's voice will get softer and softer, and what God's saying will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you'll get into the easy flow. Hallelujah. Acknowledgement has an easy flow to it. You're not doing it. You're acknowledging the one who's doing it for you. All you're doing is acknowledging him and taking the steps. Acknowledging him and taking the steps. Remember he said over there in 2 Chronicles, you'll not need to fight in this battle. Hallelujah. Set yourselves, stand ye still and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so what they do, they put singers out front. Do you know your praise is your acknowledgement of God? And did they have to wrestle and fight and battle to get that victory? No. They just went out there. The Lord is good.
Yes,
and his mercy endures forever. What are they doing? They're acknowledging what the prophet said in the camp. Set yourselves. Tomorrow go out against them. This battle is not yours. It's God's.
Hallelujah.
They're acknowledging it. Not complaining and saying, we can't. Why'd you bring us out here to die? The opposite of what Israel did in the other case.
Yes, sir.
And look what happened. They got in an easy flow. They didn't even have to cut one guy. They praised, and the enemy was the three different groups that came together against Israel fought off each other and killed off each other. It took them 3 days to gather up the gold and the silver and the Whoa, I like that flow.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stay in the acknowledgement flow. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of that this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. They also said there in verse 32 and 33, you know, they're giants and they're bigger than us. All the men that we saw in and of a great stature, that's not even true. Not all the men, just a small portion of them. Small portion of them were giants. So notice what a failure to acknowledge does. It causes you to have imaginary problems. Amen. When you fail to acknowledge God, you lose touch with reality. Problems act like they're huge and the devil's screaming through them, and you lose touch with reality. The reality is those are under your feet.
Amen.
The devil is a little wee guy. Remember at the end, is this he? This deceived the nation? This little nobody? This little thing? This little worm down here? Acknowledging God enables you to see him defeated right now. Hallelujah. So let's not have unbelief that creates imaginary problems. What do you say? Ha, ha, ha. And the devil will blow your situation out of proportion in your own mind because you fail to acknowledge God. And before you know it, it's just bigger than you. All these things are against me. No, they're not. If God be for you, who can be against you? Acknowledge the one that's for you. Acknowledge the greater one. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Stand up with me. I told you I had trouble preaching less than an hour. Praise God. Hallelujah. You ever notice when someone begins to talk about a problem? We individually understand this. Let's put it in our personal. Let's make it personal. When we start talking about a problem and go down that road, you ever notice while you're talking, the devil reminds you of other problems?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I know it. And not only is this going to go wrong, and what about this over here? And you start talking about problems, and the devil is sitting right here ready to remind you of everything that he's trying to do. Why hasn't he done him yet? You haven't been acknowledging him. You haven't been acknowledging him. Boy, this is getting clear to me. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge it, and then he'll start the pile-up tactic. Isn't that right? You got piled on top of problems, and you get overwhelmed. Amen. Get in a hole of discouragement and depression. That's exactly what he wanted you to do. But see, it all started with failure to acknowledge God. Can you see these holes that the devil wants to put us in? Denying God, imaginary problems, isn't that right? Complaining, rebellion, all these things. It all starts with a failure to acknowledge God. Well, praise the Lord. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Whatever you feel, say what God said. Say what God said. It isn't over. Yeah, but it's over. No, it's not over yet. It's over if you quit. If you quit acknowledging, you act like it's over. But no, it's only over if you give up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.